All right, you guys can start turning to Matthew 3 this morning. Steve mentioned, today is Pentecost Sunday. I'll say hallelujah. Yes, it's a great thing. It's where we remember the day that Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room. And so often we think of Acts 2 when we think of Pentecost Sunday. We think of Acts 2 and how there suddenly came a sound from heaven, but God's suddenlies are not really suddenlies in his world. God's suddenlies are not suddenlies to him at all. He has plans, and he's been planning every one of them to happen, including what happened in Acts 2. But he did so much more here. First, let's take a few moments to remember and think about why it's called Pentecost. Pentecost literally means the 50th day. That's literally what Pentecost means. When you look it up, that's the definition of it. We celebrate it 7 weeks after Easter. I'll say it's 50 days from the day of Passover, so that puts it to Pentecost here. In the Old Testament, it's actually better known as the Feast of Weeks, signifying 7 weeks. It was one of the three Jewish holidays that became, or the three Jewish festivals where all the able-bodied males were required to make a trip to Jerusalem. So when Holy Spirit came, he arrived for all to see. All these people were coming to Jerusalem, and Holy Spirit fell while they were all there. The Feast of Weeks, if you're taking notes, it marks the beginning of the wheat harvest. That can be found in Leviticus 23, Exodus 34, Numbers 28, and Deuteronomy 16. The Feast of Weeks is a celebration of the harvest. It's so fitting that Holy Spirit came during the time that it came to celebrate the harvest. Holy Spirit today still celebrates the harvest. I was reflecting this week about this building that God gave us. It was built in 1971. It's 50 years old. It's 50. And although it started as a John Deere dealership, servicing tractors, selling tractors and combines, doing stuff to ready for the harvest, he's doing something where he's readying us for the harvest as well. God's purpose has not changed. So although we're talking about Pentecost this morning, and Holy Spirit being poured out on God's people, I actually want to start in the ministry of John the Baptist. See, God has a way of orchestrating things through his word, where he sets up things that we may not realize are truly related, but he sets them up so well that it's hard to see, hard to not see God's hand in it, showing us the big picture here. So John the Baptist, he was starting to get quite a following, baptizing people in the Jordan River. He was starting to get some attention. He was beginning to be noticed, both by people seeking God and also for people who were seeking to find out what the commotion was all about. So Matthew 3, starting in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So John pushes the attention to the Messiah. And he flat out says that he's not the one that people should be looking to. He's simply a man. All he's doing is trying to prepare people's hearts with repentance. See, repentance is nothing new. God constantly throughout the Bible was looking for people to come to repentance. And John's not wanting any recognition here. He wants people to be looking to God through all of this. He wants what God had been saying all along, that he wants to give people chances to change. Now, there's one specific phrase in here that we're going to focus in on today. And it's directly linked to what happened on the day of Pentecost. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that's exactly what we're going to be looking at here. The first word of all this that I'm looking at is baptize. So baptize means to immerse. Think of water baptism. We've got a baptismal up here. When you got dunked, you probably got completely dunked under the water, right? You got dunked and it signified that the old you is dead. The old you got buried and immersed with Christ. And the new you got pulled up in new life in Christ. The old you is buried. When you bury it, you don't just get it a little wet or get it a little dirty. You don't just sprinkle a little dirt on it. You completely bury it. I think the old phrase was, 6 feet under? So it's completely burying the old you. So with baptism, when you baptize, you completely submerge it. You completely immerse it. It's not just a little sprinkling on. It's not just getting a little on you, getting a hint of it. I'll say, when we go out to eat, I don't like the samplers they give as appetizers. You know, where they don't give you a full portion of something. They just give you one or two of those little things. And then when you find something you like, you want more of it. You would have rather had the whole thing of that good thing. I don't just want a teaser. So baptizing, it's not just dipping your little toe, your big toe in either. As my generation says, it's full send. There's no looking back. It's committing to it. It's jumping straight in. It's immersion. Now take that thought about baptism and what it means. And think about what John was saying here when he says that he will baptize us with Holy Spirit and fire. Certainly puts a new thought on being baptized in the Holy Ghost, don't it? So baptized with the Holy Spirit. If we're baptized with the Spirit, it means we're completely immersed in the Spirit. We're completely soaked by the Holy Spirit. God shows us his plan again here. He didn't hide it. Throughout the Old Testament, he would said that he would be sending his Spirit to us. Ezekiel 37:14, I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. God was promised this for the here and now as well. He intended for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and give us this resurrected life. Jesus himself told us that we would be baptized by the Spirit in Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He told them he would be sending his paraclete, the one just like him. Now, he was telling them then that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from that point. The disciples had seen the power of the Holy Spirit a lot in their time with Jesus. They knew they needed to wait for the baptism with the Holy Spirit to come. Now, I don't know about you guys, but waiting is never fun for me. And the disciples honestly only had to wait for around a week to maybe just a little more. Because in today's society, let me back up. They only had to wait for about a week. I think there's a reason why God sent his Holy Spirit in that time frame. See, in today's society, if we were told to wait for the Holy Spirit, we'd want him a whole lot sooner than just a week. I'll say, we have phrases around here. We've got fast food. We've got 15-minute oil changes. Things are advertised 30 minutes or less. We want things to cook faster, so what do we have? A microwave. We want things now. But the first step in obedience for the disciples here was to wait. Thankfully, they did what they were instructed to do. They waited in Jerusalem so that what the prophet Joel said would come true. In Joel 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." This, of course, is part of the scripture that Peter had quoted in Acts 2. It was fulfilled at that time. This is the beauty of the gospel. It's the wonderful thing about how God's love for us is. God's no respecter of persons. He said that he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. How many of you think you fall into that category this morning? I'm saying, the promise was not just for the sons and the daughters of Israel, those who descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also on those who are willing to serve God, his men servants and his maid servants. I'm glad God made it possible for us to receive his Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. I don't know how we'd function without him. Ephesians 5:18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Think about getting baptized again. When you immerse yourself in something else, it starts getting filled inside and in every open spot in it. That's what happens when we get immersed in the Holy Spirit as well. He starts filling every space that he can inside of you. We become vessels for carrying the Holy Spirit. I want nothing more than to be a yielded vessel carrying the Holy Spirit. Letting Holy Spirit do whatever he wants, listening for the leading of his voice. The thing is, too, when you're soaked with the Holy Spirit, that what drips off of you can't help but contact others as well. And then we get to that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm sure many of you recognize the theme of fire during worship. And fire is so commonly associated with Holy Spirit as well. Not all fire is bad. If you notice in our original passage, in verse 12, where it said, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, with our modern combines, it's easy to lose sight of what the winnowing process was. It's something that's associated with harvesting. Everyone in those days would have known exactly what he meant when he said a winnowing fan and burning up the chaff with fire. Winnowing is the process of separating the good grain from the useless chaff. See, back in those days, what you would do is you'd take a bundle of wheat and you'd beat it with a rod and get all the grain to fall out. So that was the first step. So then what all falls out of the wheat, well, you don't just have the grain that you want to keep. You also had a bunch of stuff with it. You'd have larger chunks that, yeah, you could pick it out, but you also had a lot of the little stuff from where you were beating on the wheat with it. So that's where winnowing comes into play. So what you would do then is you would take and you would basically scoop it up and you would toss it into the air. So then the winnowing fan or wind would blow through and the heavier grain would just fall back to the ground, but the chaff would basically blow away. So after you do that a bunch of times, you start separating the good grain from the chaff. And then when you're done, you've got to take all your wheat off to the side and you take it to where you're going to store it at. Then you go through and you sweep up all of the chaff together and you burn it. And that fire, when you burn it, is helping in part of the cleaning process. Helps get rid of the junk out of what you don't need. Here's a few references from the Old Testament about God's fire. Isaiah 4:4, "When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." In Zechariah 13:9, "I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Malachi 3:2, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and the launderer's soap." Fire can be a cleansing fire. Notice that these verses all relate fire and washing or cleansing. That's one of the great things that God does with his fire. He uses it to cleanse us, to purify us. Anybody in here ever mess with black powder guns or making your own projectiles for reloading? Yeah, so you guys will know exactly what I'm talking about here. But for the rest, everybody who isn't familiar with that process, with any metal casting, what you do is you start melting down whatever metal it is that you're planning on using. So in this case, a lot of people would use lead for ammunition and that, but you also have brass or aluminum. It's the same process. And so what you do is you set up your foundry, you start melting everything down. And chances are, since you're doing this on your own, you're probably using things that aren't exactly the cleanest materials to start with. So the stuff that'll burn, it'll end up just burning off inside there. But then some of the other stuff, you start having to skim off the slag off the top of it. You start having to skim off the junk. And that refining process, though, it takes the junk and separates it from the good metal that you're wanting to use. So then, with that, it's more pure than it was before. We can't be afraid of Holy Spirit's fire. We need to let Him lead us in where He wants to go. We've got to let Him burn off what He doesn't want to be there. Remember our definition of baptism. He said He would baptize us with fire. We're completely submerged in that fire, letting that fire have full access to touch every part of us. Let God cleanse us with that fire. When God's wanting to do a work in you, don't fight it. It's going to be tempting to try to fight it the best you can. We can't do it. We got to let Him do what He wants to do. Sometimes it'll get a little uncomfortable, but God knows what He's doing. He needs to remove those impurities that we've allowed to be there. He wants to continue to make us new, wants to continue to make us into His image. In addition to cleansing, the fire also usually makes us stronger. It changes the characteristics within us that there's no other way it could have came to be. God's fire is good for us. We need to let Holy Spirit continue to do what He does. When God is moving, we need to get out of the way of holding it back. Listen to that still, small voice giving us direction for what our role is and what Holy Spirit wants to do through us. We get caught up in routines a lot. Familiarity, as we've been talking about lately, our comfort zones. But sometimes we just need to embrace what God's doing. Actually, all the time we need to embrace what God's doing. I don't want to get in the way of God either, even if it changes something that I had planned. Immediately, I think of some of the exhortations that Paul was giving the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is both good for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Getting ourselves in the way of what Holy Spirit's wanting to do will quench Holy Spirit doing what He plans to do. Remember, Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force anyone to do anything. He's not going to force Himself on you. He'll only do as much as we let Him do. We can fan the flame, or we can quench it. Last couple of years, there's a very powerful prayer and a simple prayer that so many of us have been saying. Holy Spirit, do what You've always wanted to do. See, and that's the thing. Holy Spirit wants to do more than we can ever think or imagine. But it takes full obedience and listening to Him and doing what He's instructed us to do. God works through us. We need Holy Spirit to empower us. According to Luke in 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." The promise is that He promised the Holy Spirit, the one that would fill us, the one who would give us His dunamis power, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." there's a reason why Holy Spirit will be coming to give us His power. He knows that we need His power. The "with God, all things are possible" power. The "I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me" power. The miracle-working power coming to us. The prophetic power speaking through us. The signs and wonders power. The healing power. Reconciliation power. The redemptive power. Forgiving power. The overcoming darkness power. So yes, Holy Spirit came, and as we are immersed with Him, He immerses us with His power. He saturates us with His power. Jesus operated in power while He was here on the earth as a human. He told the lame to walk, the mute to talk. He cleansed the lepers, the outcast, restoring them to their brethren. He raised the dead back to life. He's still in that business today. And then some. So many of you came forth for prayer this morning. I know God touched you. I know many of you received your healing this morning. We got to walk that out as well. But Jesus had told us in John 14, verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do." Here's the good part. "And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Amen. That is so great. Jesus, he had to go to be able to send the helper. He had to die and take our sins to the cross. He had to take the place of our sins on the cross. He had to die and rise again. And he had to ascend to heaven to send the helper. To send the promise, to send Holy Spirit. God is faithful to fulfill His promises. He is that good Father who gives good gifts to His children. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He's looking for submitted vessels. He's asking us to make that choice. He's looking to us to listen for Him. The power that He's giving us, it's not meant for ourselves. It's not meant to stay in these four walls. The disciples were meant to wait until they received power, but then they were commissioned to go. Let's have that on our hearts, to focus on going in the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. I thank God that He sent His Holy Spirit on Pentecost. I thank God that He promised us that and He fulfilled it. That's the wonderful Father we serve. So, Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You that You did not leave us orphans, that You sent Your Holy Spirit and instilled Your power into us. Lord, we thank You that You have counted us faithful to be used by You, Jesus. We thank You that You are still doing things today, God. Lord, help us go forth in Your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for baptizing us with your Holy Spirit and fire, God. Lord, we welcome the fire that you are removing those things from us that you do not want to be there, God. Lord, we thank you for doing a work in us. We thank you for doing what only you can do, God. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.